Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, January 31st, 2014, and today we are once more talking about the State of the Union. But this podcast is the real or actual State of the Union, not the one imagined or at least exaggerated by President Obama in his State of the Union speech. We are going to talk today primarily about the economy and some theories for why the economy is the way it is. Let's start by considering the government's central claim for itself. That central claim is that central planning works. The government knows what's wrong. It knows what's best for you and for me. And furthermore, the government can central plan everything from the economy to health care to the private lives of its citizens. The reality, however, is quite different. The president now seems to leave the central planning of the economy to the Federal Reserve and simply demands unlimited spending for himself. But what is the plan that the Federal Reserve has? Let's look at that. The Fed's plan is to keep interest rates artificially low at near zero so that people will over time start to plan and borrow and set their own economies for zero rates and abandon savings for consumer spending. Thus, the economy, the plan says, will be spurred. Taxes will increase. As consumers spend more, demand increases, as does employment and economic growth. The Fed then tapers its money printing to prevent an outbreak of inflation. So everything is controlled right on a fine edge. The Fed's plan is and will be difficult to accomplish, however. If inflationary reactions in the economy do start, they might be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the Fed to reverse without runaway inflation. But government continues. It's whistling through the graveyard. The president mentioned the other night in his speech the disparity of incomes, which has grown much worse under his watch, but he knows that his central planning efforts in our economy will fix them. There is this plan that the government puts forward. This is the idea, the argument that central planning is based on. There are those who think the government can fix anything, and to do so, it must tax more and spend more, even if that means spending money it does not have, even if it means borrowing money that it does not have the capacity to ever pay back. Then there are those like me who believe that government should stand aside, cut taxes, cut spending, reduce regulations, and let the private sector create the growth we need. That is the divide. This divide is at the heart of economics, not just in America, but in the world today, including the austerity debates in Europe between the producers like Germany and the borrowers and spenders like Greece. And in the United States, it's at the heart of much of the debate over debts, deficits, budgets, the various Tea Party and Occupy movements. The question in simple terms, then, is whether increased government spending, spending as far beyond revenue as necessary, is the answer, the way out of this global crisis, or is it not? But it goes far beyond matters of the economy. If the government has unlimited power, then by definition, all the rest, the people, the states, etc., are in effect disenfranchised. Economic central planning, I would argue, has been a dismal failure. Washington has driven the country bankrupt and now cannot meet its obligations without borrowing 40 cents of every dollar it spends. Washington constantly derides Wall Street and the rich, but there seems to be little difference between Washington and Wall Street as they collude in their crisis and bailouts and too big to fail banks. Unemployment is much higher than we're told. Student loans and unemployment drive college grads home to live with their parents. Food stamps to 47 million people. The middle class disappearing. These are all things, all failures of central planning. But these are thoughts for a continuing discussion on Monday. Until then, folks, this is Daryl Castle. Till next time, thanks for listening.